ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9. Today's text is 35. It's a prose verse, that's why it's not written on the board, but not too long. So I'm going to read the Sanskrit and then I'll just read a translation because the synonyms are quite long. Ata tatra bhavan kim devadattavad iha guna visarga patitaha paratantrenya swakrita kushala kushalam palam upadadati ahosvid atmarama upashama shilaha Samanjasa darshana udasta itihavava na vidamaha. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Who's speaking? The demigods. Yeah, they're continuing their appeal, prayer to the Lord. So they say, Prabhupada translates, these are our inquiries. The ordinary conditioned soul is subject to the material laws, and he thus receives the fruits of his actions. Does your lordship, like an ordinary human being, exist within this material world in a body produced by the material modes? Do you enjoy or suffer the good or bad results of actions under the influence of time, past work, and so forth? Or, on the contrary, are you present here only as a neutral witness who is self-sufficient, free from all material desires, and always full of spiritual potency? We certainly cannot understand your actual position. So, we'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport, and then we'll discuss. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he descends to this material world for two purposes, namely, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, to relieve the devotees and kill demons or non-devotees. These two kinds of action are the same for the absolute truth. When the Lord comes to punish the demons, he bestows his favor upon them. And similarly, when he delivers his devotees and gives them relief, he also bestows his favor. Thus the Lord bestows his favor equally upon the conditioned souls. When a conditioned soul gives relief to others, he acts piously. And when he gives trouble to others, he acts impiously. But the Lord is neither pious nor impious. He is always full in his spiritual potency, by which he shows equal mercy to the punishable and the protectable. The Lord is apapa vidham. He is never contaminated by the reactions of so-called sinful activities. When Krishna was present on this earth, he killed many inimical non-devotees, but they all received sarupya. In other words, they return to their original spiritual bodies. One who does not know the Lord's position says that God is unkind to him, but merciful to others. Actually, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 29, Samohang sarvabhuteshu name dveshyostina priyaha. Quote, I am equal to everyone. No one is my enemy, and no one is my friend. End of quote. But he also says, Yeva janti tamam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. Quote, if one becomes my devotee and fully surrenders unto me, I give him special attention. End of quote and end of purport. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prishtaya bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarine. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sadivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Paritana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitangsha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindume Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it seems here that the demigods are going from certainty to uncertainty. They've made previously some very emphatic statements about the Lord, and now they seem to be backtracking and asking, what is your actual position? It's almost like they kind of momentarily became illusioned, which is not impossible. We know one of Krishna's qualities, which is stated in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Muyanti Yak Suryaha. He has the ability to put the demigods into illusion, and we have many examples of that. The most famous one probably is the Brahma Vimohana Leela. That even up to and including Lord Brahma, Krishna can put everyone into illusion. So it wouldn't be hard to accept that he has momentarily put them into illusion so they can ask these important questions. Because it is important for the conditioned souls to realize clearly Krishna's position, God's position, so that we can therefore go forward with full sincerity and full determination to surrender unto God, to surrender to Krishna, and get out of this material consciousness that we're in. Prabhupada made a very interesting statement once in a lecture. He said, Krishna is all good, and the living entities, being part and parcel of Krishna, they're also all good. When we fall into illusion, into material contamination, contaminated state, is when we become bad. So if we simply revive our original Krishna consciousness, then we immediately become again all good. It is possible for every single one of us here to attain that state of being all good. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If everybody you met was all good, and you yourself were all good. So this is one of the rewards for becoming again 100% Krishna conscious, is you return to this state of being all good. The demigods obviously are not quite on that level. This whole pastime ensued because Lord Indra was not all good in his dealings with his spiritual master. Made a very, very heavy mistake. And therefore they are all paying the price now. But because they're devotees, not completely pure devotees, but they're devotees, so they've turned to the only shelter for one who's actually a devotee, and that's Krishna. Krishna is the Ashraya. He's the only source of everything for the devotees. The devotees see Krishna as their all in all, so where else will they go for shelter? So they've come to Krishna and they're offering these nice prayers, but again, now momentarily it seems that they're backtracking and they're trying to figure out, what is your position? Are you like us in that you become affected by the results of your actions? In other words, negatively affected by the results of your actions, like we are, and they're in that situation right now because they're being negatively affected by some action that they perform. Or are you actually beyond all this? Are you free from all material desires and always full of spiritual potency? We certainly cannot understand your actual position. So this ability to understand or not understand, that is controlled by Krishna. We all have experience. Sometimes you think you've figured something out, practically the next moment or shortly thereafter, you realize that you don't really understand what's going on. So this ability to understand, not understand, to figure it out, not figure it, this is all controlled by Krishna. Knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness, ability, it's all coming from Krishna. Purusham Narshu, Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. So, and the demigods should know this. From our perspective, the demigods are way beyond any ability that we can generate or show, display. Even amongst human beings, we know ability ranges vastly. Somebody can run a mile in 10 minutes, somebody in 8 minutes, somebody in 6 minutes, somebody in 4 minutes, somebody less than 4 minutes. And it's like, whoa, a sub-4-minute mile, wow. But Krishna is there already. Wherever you go, he's there already. As I was saying in my last class, swifter than the mind. He can surpass all of this running, as stated in Ishapanishad. So we can slightly dazzle each other with our better abilities. Somebody can sing like Toshini when she sings, like people like, whoa, listen to that. When I sing, it's like, let's get out of here. This guy's croaking again. So, different ability. But when Krishna sings, it's like everybody's stunned. When he plays his flute, everybody's stunned. Sri Jagan Manasa Karshi, Murali Kala Kujita, it's stated in the different places, but you'll find that in the Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it's describing the four qualities that Krishna has that even the other Vishnu incarnations or expansions don't have. So this is one of them. Sri Jagan Manasa Karshi, Murali Kala Kujita, when he plays on his flute, see, he's always standing with his flute. Then it blows, as we would say, my mind was blown. It really, literally blows the mind of anybody that hears that music. They can't figure it out. And not just because of its sweetness, but because of its complexity. Lord Brahma, in his position as the first created being, he disseminates all knowledge in the universe. Not just knowledge of the scripture, but knowledge of music, art. It's all coming from Lord Brahma. But it's coming from Krishna through Lord Brahma. So even when Lord Brahma, who is the Sagarima, when you know these notes that we know in, or Do, Re, Mi, Fa, whatever notes you've learned, this is all coming now, knowledge coming from Lord Brahma. But when he hears Krishna play his flute, he can't figure out where these notes are coming from, how they're put together. I mean, it's like, blows his mind. So the demigods are certainly illusionable, and Krishna can put them in illusion at any time he wants. So now it seems they're like they're in a bit of illusion here. They're trying to understand Krishna's position. And so Prabhupada, in his purport, touches on some basic points. Why does Krishna come in the material world in the first place? We know from the fourth chapter. Parichanaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sangstapanapaya dharma sangstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. So in every millennium, meaning in every day of Brahma, Krishna comes. And for these reasons, not that he has to come, he could kill the demons, Prabhupada said, you know, anyway, he uses his material energies and so many demons die in an instant. But more to enliven the devotees, he comes to protect them, to enliven them, and to reestablish real religious principles. Because otherwise people are always confused about what is real religion, as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are not enlightened, they take irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion. Just like they see us performing the Yuga Dharma, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and they think we're crazy. And why are these people wasting their time and our time and disturbing us? We're walking around window shopping as usual, and they're disturbing us. We're trying to eat our sinful foods, and they're disturbing us. Literally, once I was on the promenade in Santa Monica, we were near to one of those restaurants where they have outdoor seating. And this older, elderly woman actually got up and said that, I'm trying to eat and you're disturbing. Get out of here. We're saving you from that sinful stuff you're eating. Because just by hearing the Maha Mantra even once, all their sinful reactions are been conquered. Yes, it's a fact. That's how important this Harinam party is. It says in the sixth canto that just by even consciously or unconsciously chanting this name of Krishna, then it destroys more sins than you can commit, just like a fire. Dahet Adyo Yatanala. Just like a fire can consume any amount of fuel that you put into it, then just this chanting of the holy names can burn up more sins than you can even imagine. So, kill the demons or the non-devotees, that's not very important. Krishna can do that anyway, but he's bestowing his favor upon the devotees. Now, Prabhupada touches on a few other very important points here. The Lord is apapa vidham. Apapa means sin. Apapa vidham means he not only does not perform anything sinful, but he cannot be touched by anything sinful. There's no question of sinful reaction in Krishna. And this is very important to understand because there are a class of so-called devotees, neophytes obviously, who Prabhupada said, they're attracted to Bal Krishna, Krishna's baby pastime, childhood pastimes, but not Gopi Krishna, because they say that's immoral. Krishna's dancing with other people's wives and stuff like that. Completely not getting the point. They're completely off the track. First of all, Krishna is God. He cannot perform anything sinful. And even from just a mundane point of view, being God, everything emanates from him. That means all of these living entities that he's dancing with, they belong to him. There's no question of being somebody else's wife or this or that. They're all Krishna's parts and parcels. So Krishna can do whatever he wants. So this is lack of understanding, incomplete understanding, that Krishna can somehow do something immoral or sinful. It's not very, very advanced understanding. So it's important for us to understand this point of apapavitam. Krishna never performs any sinful activities, even though in his lila sometimes it seems that way, like when he killed Aristasura. The gopis told him, don't come near us because you've killed the cow, which is very sinful. You have to go and perform some atonement for this sinful act. So this is just pastime. We should not be confused by that. Krishna cannot be touched by sinful reaction. But just to play along with the pastime, Krishna says, okay, so what should I do? You have to do something pious. Okay, so the Shyamakund was made. And he called all the holy rivers and holy samudras to come and fill it up so that he can take bath and relieve himself of the sinful reactions of killing a cow. But this is just pastime. Don't be confused. So, but we should understand that Krishna cannot perform anything sinful, and as a matter of fact, anybody who comes to him, even with sinful intentions, just by coming in contact with Krishna, they're purified. Example of that is Kubja. You know, she had material desires when she approached Krishna, but by coming in contact with Krishna, she was purified. All of the material desires went away, and she became established in pure devotion to the Lord. Alright, so, going on in Prabhupada's purport. Very important point here. Prabhupada says, one who does not know the Lord's position says that God is unkind to him, but merciful to others. So Prabhupada is making the point that no, everything that Krishna does is merciful. Whether he's killing or he's embracing, it's all mercy. And as devotees, aspiring devotees, we should be very clear on that. Because in our own lives, sometimes we're up, apparently, and sometimes we're down in terms of health and wealth and whatever. And so the tendency may be there, even in the devotee community, to become a little unsure about what Krishna wants from us and how Krishna is handling us, and even become allow envy to arise again in the heart, that I'm striving so hard to perform my devotional service and I can't even put two pennies together, and that other person over there hardly comes to the temple and he or she has two cars and big house and this and that. How is that fair, Krishna? Why are you doing this to me? No, we should never think like that. We should never think like that. Krishna, as the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master of everyone, he knows exactly where we are in our spiritual advancement and exactly what we need to complete the course of purification. So we should always feel that wherever I am right now, Krishna is handling me just in the right way. Just very personally for my own advancement. And not be so concerned about where somebody else is. That's not really our business. Krishna is handling each and every one of us just perfectly. We should always see that. And that will prevent us from becoming envious. Otherwise, it's very easy to think like that. Even amongst those performing like book distribution, let's say, because I know I've experienced that. You go out and you seem to be making the same effort as the devotee next to you. But at the end of the day, that person comes back with 500 luxury points and 100 big books distributed, and you come back with barely $30. And you're wondering, why? Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I'm trying hard. So Krishna's purifying us, trying to purify us, our intentions, trying to purify our desires so that we can fully, as Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, if you fully surrender to Krishna, then Krishna fully takes care of you. But it takes time to get to that point of letting go of our material attachments, letting go of our material shelters, our 401k or a little bit of money we have in the bank, or, you know, my chance that my rich uncle will die and leave me a lot of money, and, you know, all of these material shelters we should let go of and simply surrender to Krishna, like Draupadi. When later on, when that pastime was being discussed, why didn't you come to save me? Well, Krishna said you were holding on, you were depending on your own strength. When you finally let go and just depended on me, that's when I took care of you. Supplied unlimited sari so that she was not disgraced. So we learn from these pastimes. And as long as we're holding on and trying to do things by our own strength, Krishna says, okay, all right, go ahead. Let's see how far you get. Yeah, we have to get to this point of complete surrender, complete lack of dependence on anything material, completely taking shelter on the spiritual side, and then Krishna takes care of us. So then Prabhupada recites this very important verse, or cites this very important verse, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. So it's a nice purport to that verse, not too long. So I'd like to read it. We have a little time remaining, because there are some very nice points discussed there also. So Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvesho Stinapriya. Yabhadanti Tamam Bhaktya Maite Teshu Chapya Ham. This is chapter 9, text 29. Srila Prabhupada's translation. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Prabhupada's purport. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? But this is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity in whatever form is his son, and so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for his devotees, he gives specific attention. And again, we should always remember this. Always try to feel that in our lives, that Krishna is giving me specific attention. It's, in other words, it's not just a random anything goes situation we're in here. If we really plug in to devotional service and render service attentively and sincerely, we should feel Krishna's presence. We should feel that guiding hand, that protective hand of Krishna. Such devotees, Prabhupada continues, are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore, they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase, Krishna consciousness, suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in Him. As I mentioned at the beginning, Prabhupada said, if you are in Krishna consciousness, then you're back in your position of being all good. The Lord says here distinctly, Mai Te. They are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words, Yeyata amang prapadyante tangsta taiva bhajamyaham. Whoever surrenders unto me proportionately, I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. And Prabhupada makes a very nice analogy here. Says, when a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Few more sentences. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. In other words, if you're not in a completely pure state, you're not really yet a devotee. You're an aspiring devotee. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. Very important statement. This is a personal philosophy, personalist philosophy. So we should always feel that reciprocation again. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity. Let's see here. Yeah. But in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree, and whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here, the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world, where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. Wonderful purport. So, the point that's being stressed is that we should really, really try to become pure devotees. We should really try to engage everything we have in Krishna service. I was talking to Omkar during the greeting, because he's very fond of putting big array of peacock feathers. So this is nice. This is in the spiritual world, that's why the peacocks exist. They want to serve Krishna in this way. In the material world, we see they're beautiful peacocks. They spread their tails. But they're doing it why? To attract the opposite sex. To attract the female. It's all self-centered. But in the spiritual world, the peacocks want Krishna to take their feathers and decorate his head. We were singing that every morning. Venum quanantam aravinda dalaya taksham. Barha means a peacock feather. Avatangsam means who decorates the head. So this is Krishna's position in reciprocal relationship with the peacocks. The peacocks, they want to give their feathers to Krishna for him to decorate himself, and he gladly accepts them, and he looks very beautiful, decorated with his peacock feathers. So this is, again, clear indication. Whatever we are, or whoever we are, whatever we have, or just give it to Krishna wholeheartedly, and that is perfection. And even if we come to the stage where we're incapacitated, and like Subhas was talking to Vidura Prabhu this morning, because he's hurting like anything. You know, his body is really, really in pain. He's 91 years old. The body's falling apart. And Subhas was saying, but we are all, we all take your darshan because you're so kindly showing us how to act even when you're in pain. Every day he comes anyway to greet the deities and like that. And when they go home, they listen to the class or the internet. And whenever there's a class played in the temple, I always bring them the CD. They're still plugged in, even though the bodies are falling apart at that age. So this is a very good example that no matter what circumstance we're in, don't take it as a chance or impetus to lament. Prabhupada would always get almost mad with the devotees. Don't lament. Lamentation is for sudras. Devotees are meant to be more brahminically inclined and function like brahmanas. A brahmana never laments over anything. Okay, this is happening. I say, okay, it's my past karma. Due to past karma, I'm experiencing this. And I just go out with my puja, go out with my service to the Lord. And this is brahminical life. The shudras are always, oh my God, oh, this is happening to me. Why is this happening to me? Oh. Hankering and lamentation. These are the hallmarks of the shudra. Devotees should not lament. Just, you know, Krishna, I mean, Krishna's hands. I mean, even the Christians say that. We're, you know, we're in God's hands. So the devotee should feel that literally. We're being cradled in the hands of Krishna. So why should I lament about anything? Whatever's going on, Krishna certainly knows. And if he wants to change this or that, he can certainly do that. He's all powerful. So let me just go on. Chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You were indicating that the Lord is pure goodness, which I'm not sure if that's one of the three modes or like slightly higher than that mode of goodness, the material mode of goodness. But my question is related to that, understanding that, like Krishna says, that you're not the doer, things are being carried out by the three modes, and also understanding that Krishna is directly influencing our lives. So that's my first question. But the second one is...
I didn't even get the first one. What's the actual question that you're asking? What was the actual question? You made some statements, but I didn't get an actual question.
The actual question is the three modes of nature are interacting. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita that a fool thinks that he's the doer, right? Because mm-hmm. all
Prakriti Kriyamanani, yeah.
And you mentioned also that that one can understand, a Brahmin will understand, this is just my karma acting. But you also said when you were talking about the Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, that we don't think God cares about someone else more than me, and he's not paying attention.
This is for devotees, though. Those who are not devotees, yes, they're simply being swept by their karma, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But when you take the devotional service, then Krishna takes a personal interest. That's the whole point. Those who are serving me, or trying to serve me, trying to surrender, he takes direct interest in you. As Prabhupada said, just like a man who may give money to everybody, but he takes particular interest in his children. So similarly, Krishna takes particular interest in the devotees, but you have to try to be a devotee. Not just that the non-devotees are. No, when you're a non-devotee, then Krishna is leaving you to the material energy to kick this way and that way, sometimes reward, sometimes punish. But when you take to devotional activities, that's when Krishna takes a direct interest in you.
Okay. And the second, thank you. The second part of the question was just when you
turn that down a little bit. That's why it's feeding back. It's a little too high, the volume. Just turn it down a little bit.
When they're asking about whether he's made up of the three modes, a pretty elaborate understanding of how we're the soul within our bodies, with the subtle body, is given. But does Krishna have a distinction between his body and his mind? Or I guess I don't even know if soul is the right word for Krishna. But can he think of something that and be different than that?
No, and it's easy to understand why not, because everything emanates from Krishna. Everything is emanating from Krishna. So even the things that seem to be different from Krishna, like this floor, Prabhupada said, you think you're sitting on the floor, but I know I'm sitting on Krishna. So even that what appears to be different from Krishna is not. What to speak of when you're dealing with Krishna directly, as the demigods are in this case. No, there's no difference between Krishna's inside and outside. Just like Prabhupada would say all the time, the foolish commentators on the Bhagavad Gita, they say, no, you don't have to surrender to Krishna. You surrender to the unborn, eternal, inside of Krishna. Prabhupada said, these rascals, they don't know there's no difference between Krishna's inside and outside. There's no difference. So it's not like us. It's not like us. Even the individual living entities on the spiritual platform don't have any difference between inside and outside. What's to speak of Krishna? I once asked Prabhupada that on the morning walk, that here in the material world, you know, we are a soul inside a particular body thinking that I am this body. But in the same body, there's so many other living entities who are also thinking that they're the, you know, you're the living entity in this body, but there's so many other living entities inside this body. You're not the only one. It's just that you're thinking that you are this particular body. So I asked Prabhupada that in the spiritual world, is it like that, where the spiritual bodies are made up of many different souls? And he said, no. No, every body that you're looking at, whether it's a tree body, peacock body, or Mother Yashoda, you know, they're all, that's a soul. And there's no difference between inside and outside. There's nobody else in there. There's no, no, that's a soul. One soul. Whether it's a tree or a rock or whatever. That's one individual spirit soul. So what to speak of Krishna? There's no difference between Krishna's inside and outside, Krishna's mind or Krishna's... And that's why we say, Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti, pashyanti panti. We sing that every morning. Because there's no difference between Krishna's hand and Krishna's, you know, foot. You know, you can do anything with any limb because there's no difference. It's all the same. All eternal, spiritual existence. There's no difference between any part of Krishna's body. It's not like he has a heart, just as it said. The Lord has no veins. There's nothing. There's no difference. Everything is just spirit. And we have that same nature also. That's our original nature. We're just spirit. There's no inside, no outside. It's just pure spirit. But we're now covered in these material bodies, and therefore we're, you know, feeling like this. You know, all inside I feel like this, outside I feel like that. No. But even for us, there's no inside and outside as original spiritual beings. What to speak of Krishna? No. All right, thank you very much. Grantarachima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktavinoda Ki Jai. Hari Bol.